This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Dodge Tank, Book 1 of Crystal Shards Online, written by Rick Scott, performed by Eric Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. My Sucky Life. The best part of my sucky life is that I get to play Crystal Shards Online for a living. Not a living, as in I make so much money playing that I don't have to work in the real world. More like, playing Crystal Shards is the only work I can do. But I make the best of it. It's not a great living, for sure, but I earn enough to help pay the rent, buy food, and hopefully one day save up enough money to pay for my mom's operation. That's one reason my life sucks right now. My mom has been ill for a while. Radiation sickness from fallout debris, the doctors say. That's the other reason my life sucks. Most of the world was made uninhabitable by a nuclear war a couple centuries ago. They say one day we might be able to live on the surface again, but it probably won't happen in my lifetime. Now we live below ground, in cities carved out by giant automated boring machines called builders. City is a bit of a generous term for it, though. It's more like thousands of shipping containers linked together by tunnels. My home is one such shipping container that I share with my mom and older brother, Mike. Mike is kind of a dick, by the way. But he's my brother, so what can I do? At least we have separate rooms now. When I turned 17 last month, my mom let me splurge on a couple sheets of drywall and a door frame. We couldn't afford the actual door, so I hung a shower curtain in the frame for privacy. Of course, Mike the jerk still barges in any time he feels like it, but it gives me some small peace of mind when I jack into the network to play Crystal Shards. I can't count the number of times Mike has yanked me offline in the middle of a session. It's his idea of a prank, I think. Idiot. He spends more time out of the house now. I think he has a girlfriend or something, but I don't really care. I'm just happy that it leaves me with more peace and quiet. And more time to mine in Crystal Shards. Just the thought of mining gets me out of my bed, which is a mattress on the floor that I've been sleeping on since I was 6. I reach for Mutt and Jeff next. The two crutches are lying next to me as always. My assistants, Mom always calls them. I tell the lights to switch on, and a bright LED glow illuminates the cement gray walls of my tiny room. My VR rig, my key to the world of the living, is in the corner, and I give a short prayer of thanks that Mike hasn't messed with it while I was asleep. I prop myself up against the wall with the help of Mutt, and then head for the living room to check on my mom. She's on the couch, as usual. A blanket covering her tiny frame, frailer even than my own. "What do you want for breakfast, Ma?" I say as I hobble by, headed toward the food processor in the corner. "Pancakes with sausage, 2 eggs," she says without missing a beat. "Then black coffee. Make it strong this time." "You got it," I chuckle, and key her breakfast order into the device. It's a nano processor that's designed to make almost anything. It uses the same technology the builders used to make the city from the earth they chew with their cavern-sized maws. The catch is that it takes a lot of credits, and a much better-grade nano-machine, to make anything that tastes even remotely close to real food. I access the joint family account and check our balance. "Your balance is 1,217 credits. My stomach does a little flutter. The rent is due next week, 3,500 credits. It's a lot to make up for, especially since I can never count on Mike to bring much home from whatever it is he does out on the streets. Half the time, I think he's holding back, spending the credits on himself. The most he's ever contributed is 1,000. That barely covers Mom's medicine. I sigh, hoping Mom doesn't hear. She hates it when I worry. It only stresses her out more. I spend 30 of our too few credits on breakfast. The processor buzzes a minute later, and I remove 2 recyclable bowls of steaming oatmeal. At least, that's what it tells me it is. I've never tasted the real thing, so I wouldn't really know. I take our bowls back to the living room and sit on the couch with Mom to have breakfast with her. The oatmeal tastes as bland and mushy as it always does.
"Have you seen Michael?" she asks. "I don't think he came home last night."
I look at my mom and fail to hide the eye roll. I know because she gives me a look of despair that makes her sunken face look even sadder.
"He He is your brother, you know.
Yeah, I know. My older brother. I shoved down a few more spoonfuls of oatmeal, avoiding her eyes. He's fine, Mom, I say eventually. I saw him leave for work early this morning. I can't tell if she's bought the lie. Her faded blue eyes finally leave mine, though, so she's bought it for now. Or maybe she's just faking, too.
So, where are you off to today, Ryan?
I perk up at the change in topic. The Silvertooth Mines. I've been watching the market. Silver ore should be in high demand for the next couple days. There's a big werewolf expansion pack coming out for Witchworld this weekend. The PvPers are going to be looking for a lot of silver. She laughs. That's the coolest part about Crystal Shards Online. The developers made it a completely connected virtual world, where the same character can enter any number of shards. Each shard has its own world and setting, but everything within them is interchangeable, even the currency and items. Crystal Shards has an economy where items and materials can be exchanged for the same credits that can buy you stuff in the real world. Plus, everyone connects to Crystal Shards for a break from the drudgery of reality. People go on vacations, explore, even have relationships. And thanks to the VR rig that connects directly to the nervous system, it all feels 100% real. Except for pain, unless you wanted it. And then there are mods for that, too. In fact, if they can afford to, most people live more online than in the real world. My ambitions, however, are much simpler than that. Enough to pay the rent would be a start. 500K to pay for my mom's operation would be a dream.
Or you could finally level up something besides minor and take out a world boss.
My mom grins at me as she says it.
A 20 million credit drop would be nice.
Ha ha, I say, as I dump our empty breakfast bowls into the recycler. Maybe once they make combat classes that don't rely on your actual agility for controls. But Mom is right. The pinnacle of the game worlds are the world bosses. Rarely was one ever defeated, and it normally took a team of high-level players to achieve. I'd only ever heard of one guild able to defeat the one in my particular shard, the Silver Rangers, and that was like 10 years ago. There are thousands of guilds like them now, all throughout the Crystal Shards, all vying for the same achievement, to defeat a world boss. The prize for defeating a world boss would not only pay for my mom's operation, it would be enough to fix my legs as well. We'd even have enough to move to the lower levels of the city, away from the radiation, where real water exists in deep underground lakes, and the processors are able to make real-tasting food. Unfortunately for me, Mud and Jeff are also the reasons why I could never play a combat class, and could never go on a raid. The developers made the combat hyper-realistic for full immersion, separate from the regular game stuff. But all that came with the entry fee of a normal nervous system. For me, swinging a pickaxe in a mine would be the extent of my combat ability.
You could always play a tank, Mom jokes. Don't they just stand there and get hit?
I chuckle.
I think there's a bit more to it than that, Mom.
I hobble over to help her with her own rig.
And where are you off to today? Shopping at Bloomingdale's.
I force myself to smile at her rote response. It's the same answer she's given my brother and me since we were old enough to know she was going someplace else when she put on her rig. That was just around the same time she started getting sick from her job as an air scrubber technician and couldn't go to work anymore. Now I'm old enough to understand what she's really doing in Crystal Shards to earn her share of our monthly income. It's what a lot of women probably did. Enter a world where her avatar could be the object of any fantasy, and guys would pay credits by the minute for her interaction. The thought makes me sick to my stomach, and I can't wait to escape to another world. A world far away from this one. A world where I might just hit a rare ore and free my mom from all her pain and suffering. A world called Crystal Shards Online. Chapter 2. Logging In. I put Mutt and Jeff to the side as I pull on my VR rig. The buzz of electricity flows through my body as the neural jack connects to the implant at the base of my neck. It's a standard implant for all citizens. Even gimps like me get one at birth, thankfully. As the system boots up, my vision and senses fade for a moment. Then, all at once, The main menu screen bursts to life. An all-too-familiar musical theme sends sparks of excitement and anticipation racing through my body. I'm all at once at work and at play, ready for my 14-hour shift in the virtual mines of Nazgar, one of the fantasy-based shards. I check my access credits and top up my account to cover the 14-hour playtime, paying 5 credits per hour. The daily and monthly passes work out cheaper, but mining is not a guaranteed profit maker, and going in the hole is a lot easier to swallow when you're risking a week's worth of food rations rather than a couple months' worth of rent. I check my avatar next. He's modeled to look like me, except cooler looking, of course. Short black hair, a chiseled jaw, and a buff bod instead of my scrawny one, with legs thick like tree trunks instead of thin like tree branches. I pull up my character stats. Name, Reese. Sex, male. Race, human. Class, miner. Level 6, Guild, Nazgar Labor Union. Strength, 6. Determines melee damage and requirements for heavy armor. Dexterity, 3. Determines melee accuracy, critical hit chance, and activation speed of ranged weapons. Agility, minus 10. Determines dodge ability, attack speed, and requirements for light armor. Intelligence, 6. Determines spellcast speed, technique points, and potency for elemental magic. Mind, 8. Determines magical defense, technique points, and potency for celestial magic. Vitality, 8. Determines stamina, HP, and regeneration speed. HP, 79 of 79. Stamina, 152 of 152. TP, 55 of 55. Each stat can go as high as 99, max. Each time you level up, you're awarded 1 or 2 attribute points to place wherever you want. I put most of mine into vitality, because mining takes a crapload of stamina. I glare at my minus 10 agility. Thanks a lot, glitchy nervous system. With an agility score like that, I'd pretty much get hit by almost anything, and it would take me a year to hit them back. Worse still, I can't even raise it. No matter how many points I put in there, it stays at minus 10. It also means I lack the stats to wear anything not considered regular clothing. Unless it's heavy armor, I guess, but I don't have the money or strength stats for that either. Besides, it doesn't look as cool as the agility-based stuff to me. Luckily, miner's gear doesn't count as armor. It's just regular clothes with special skill bonuses. As a miner, I really only have 2 skills, perception and mining. I list them to check their current levels. Perception, 59 plus 13. Mining, 74 plus 22. The first number is my base skill level. The pluses are my bonuses for gear, which is what I check next. You are equipped with Initiate Miner's Overalls, plus 5 Perception, plus 12 Mining, plus 2 Vitality. A pair of coveralls designed for the strenuous rigors of mining. Initiate Miner's Helm, plus 8 Perception. The lamp on this helm makes seeing into the darkness much easier. Rusted Iron Ring, plus 1 Strength. A simple iron ring that has seen better days. And, of course, my most important item, my pickaxe. Iron mining pick, plus 2 strength, plus 10 mining. A sturdy tool perfect for chipping away at hardened rock. It's pretty decent gear for a level 6 miner. I try to keep up to date as much as I can, but with the amount I have to pay for my game time, as well as the help I give my family, I don't normally have much to spare for gear. The mining pick alone set me back 500 credits on the auction house, but it was a steal for that price. Most times the crafters sell them for twice that. I probably lucked out with some high-level player who got it as a drop and just wanted to get rid of it quickly to free up inventory space. The ring is my other prized possession. I dug that up as a rare find. That's my other big reason for mining. For every node mined, there's an extremely small chance of unearthing buried treasure. On the net streams, there are vids of miners finding rare armor and weapons that could sell for hundreds of thousands of credits. It adds an extra bit of excitement for me. That rare chance of striking it rich and making my family's dreams come true overnight. Just the thought of it has my juices pumping and raring to go. I confirm my selection for class, and then access the fantasy shard of Nazgar. My senses go dark for a second time, and then I emerge into a new world. It's always kind of awesome logging in. But for me, it's literally like being born again. As my avatar materializes on the step of Andor, my senses come back to me in full 3D overload. I feel strength in my legs, and I can stand on my own. That alone is a miracle worth logging in for. The in-game time is noon, and a gorgeous blue sky is overhead, dotted with puffy white clouds. A cool breeze whistles over the sparse steppe land of low grass, and white rocks protrude from the ground like half-buried bones. I equip my pickaxe and feel the wooden shaft in my hand, real as anything I've touched in real life. The air is sweet, and I inhale deeply to rid myself of the stink of the real world. I couldn't get enough of this place if I tried. An automated greeting pops up on my chat bar. Welcome to Crystal Shards Online. You are connected to the world of Nazgar. It has been 0 days, 7 hours, and 23 minutes since your last login. You have one friend online. You have 7 guild members online. Before I can even guess who the friend is, a private message pops up from Gilly. The software automatically translates it into her cutesy half-elf voice, reading along with the text and emoticons. Gilly.
Hey! About time you logged in. You hitting the mines?
Gilly loves ending everything with an emoticon when she's messaging, and it always brings a smile to my face, imagining her making whatever silly face she includes. Though we've never met outside of the game, I actually consider Gilly my best friend. We joined our guild, the Nazgar Labor Union, at the same time, about 6 months ago, and we've leveled together ever since. It's rare to find another person who's interested only in mining. I did it because I had to, but Gilly? She gets a kick out of everything about it. I respond to her through a private message. Me. Yeah, I logged out outside of Silvertooth last night. Gilly.
Silvertooth? That's a level 40 area. We'd get creamed in there if we run into anything.
Me. Exactly why we should head there. Everyone knows about the Silver Rush, and the Paxis mines in the Lobby areas are going to be super overcrowded. Only high-level miners will be in Silvertooth. Gilly.
And what exactly makes us high-level miners again?
I laugh at her response. Me.
Our mining skill is high enough to mine the silver nodes there. We just need to avoid the mobs.
I link an item to the chat. Sneaking potion. Makes the user undetectable by aggressive enemies. Wears off when an action is performed. Duration, 5 minutes. It is rumored the mages of the Ivory Keep created this potion to sneak into the lairs of dragons. Me.
I got 2 stacks of these bad boys. One for me, one for you.
Gilly.
No way! Those things are mega expensive!
She was right. They cost about 50 credits each, but I got 2 stacks of 10 for 750 credits in the auction house last week. Prior preparation and taking advantage of discounts is the key to making money in this game. Me.
If I can turn over 4 stacks of silver ore today, I'll be in the money. Plus, this high-level mine has a higher chance for HQ ore drops.
HQ stands for high quality. Smiths would use those to forge HQ weapons and armor, and as such would pay almost 5 times the normal price for them. Gilly.
Okay, you're on. But let me give you something for the potions.
Me.
Cool.
I'm not in a position to refuse, so I don't. But even if she hadn't offered, I wouldn't have asked. Gilly and I share, and share alike, like that. Gilly.
I can't fast travel there yet, so I need to run there. Give me about 15 minutes.
Me.
Okay.
The game allows you to set a teleport point to areas you've already visited. For a credit fee, you can warp there instantaneously thereafter. But you had to get there the old-fashioned way first. I had set my spawn point here last night to cut down on time, but I probably should have sent Gilly a message to do the same. She logs on a couple hours earlier than me most days, and logs out the same time sooner. I decide to pass the time by trying out one of the nodes inside the mine. I stretch my legs in a sprint that depletes my stamina bar steadily, but I've got a lot of stamina, so I can sprint for a pretty long time. I hit the mine entrance, and the words Silvertooth Mines appears in my vision to denote I've entered a new area. The mines remind me of the tunnels around my real-life container house, although the tunnel walls are roughly hewn as compared to the perfectly bored, smooth tubes created by the builders. I use my prospect ability to reveal any nodes in the area just inside the mouth of the mine entrance, and several yellow dots appear on my mini-map. Unfortunately, I don't have an actual map of the area yet, so the dots just float there in space with no frame of reference. You dummy, I chastise myself. I really should have bought a map of the area first. I have half a mind to ask Gilly to pick one up in town before she heads over to me, but I don't want to slow her down anymore. Besides, we were just going to stick to the upper levels for today. And with how long I've been mining, I've developed a pretty decent sense of direction. I venture in a bit further and spot a silver node. My blood is already spiking with excitement as I ready my pickaxe and bring up the stats on the node. Silver mining node. Durability, 20 of 20. Success chance, 35%. Not bad. A roughly 1 in 3 chance of a successful hit. The extra experience points I put into my mining skill has paid off. But I have a few more tricks up my sleeve to increase my odds even more. I use my miner class abilities, Miner's Favor and True Strike, in that order. Miner's Favor. Double the effect of your next ability. Cost, 15 TP. True Strike. Spend TP to increase your success rate by 25%. Cost, 10 TP. My TP bar goes down to 30, but my success chance jumps to 85%. Now we're talking. I take a strike at the rock face with my pickaxe, and my stamina depletes by 20%. But I hear a tinny ring as my pickaxe bounces ineffectively off the surface with a flurry of sparks. What? I grumble at my bad luck. 85% chance and still a failure? I hit the note again and feel the solid connect of a successful mining dig. It's a pleasant ka-ching sound that gets my endorphins pumping. My strength and pickaxe damage combine to take a healthy chunk off the node's durability bar. Nice. About 3 hits a node. I get it to the last hit, and then activate another ability, Gambler's Boon. Gambler's Boon. Decrease success rate by half, but increase the chance for multiple and rare drops. I spend my last 30 TP and see my success rate drop to 40%. It's a risky move, but the payoff is worth it in my books. I go for the hit and get the painful ring of failure again. Darn it! With a failed last hit, the node disappears, and I wind up empty-handed. Just my rotten luck. But I get a big chunk of experience points from my failure, and my XP bar jumps from about a quarter to nearly halfway full. That's another cool thing about Crystal Shards Online. Even if you fail, you get an XP boost. I guess it's the principle of learning from your mistakes, or something. I have to wait for my TP to regenerate before I can go for another try, so I just wait at the same node until it respawns. When it does, I repeat the process, but get a success on the first 2 hits this time. I then consider my next move. I could go for the 3rd hit and collect an almost guaranteed silver ore. Or I could double down and pull Gambler's Boon again. I weigh the options. If I play it safe, I get something, but if I double down, I'll get a 2 ore drop minimum. That would make up for my last failed attempt. Plus, what are the chances I'll fail twice in a row? I hit Gambler's Boon and go for it. I strike with my pickaxe and get the massive ker-ching of an HQ ore strike. Woohoo! I get another big chunk of experience, and when I check my log for the drops, I can't believe my eyes. Critical success. You find a chunk of silver ore. You find a chunk of silver ore. You find a chunk of silver ore. You find a chunk of HQ silver ore. You find a treasure box. Wow! 3 ores, an HQ, plus a treasure box? My heart is pounding with excitement. It feels like I've won the lottery. I don't care what those other players say about mining. It can be darn exciting at times. I tap the treasure box to unlock it, hoping it's something super rare inside. Something I could sell and maybe change my station in life with right away. I cross my fingers as the item unlocks itself from the chest with a flurry of fanfare and exploding stars. You open a treasure box. You find a copper coin. You find a scroll of shadow copy. Rare. Untradeable. My hopes deflate like a balloon when I see the untradeable tag. That makes it more worthless than the stupid copper coin. I couldn't even sell it to an NPC. I know the scroll is something I can't use, but I click on it anyway, just to see what it is. Scroll of Shadow Copy. Teaches the ninja ability, Shadow Copy. Level 12 ninja only. Create a copy of yourself using shadow magic to absorb your next hit. Cast time, 1 second. Recast, 15 seconds. Great! A free hit every 15 seconds? What a cheesy, useless, low-level skill. I'm just about to junk the thing for inventory space when the ground shakes beneath my feet. It feels like an earthquake, and it's coming toward me at a high rate of speed. I turn to see a mountain troll running toward me. It releases a deafening roar. Mountain troll, level 40. Highly territorial, mountain trolls will attack intruders on sight. Though not very clever, they are savage warriors who can take large doses of punishment, as well as dish it out. Affinity, earth. My blood turns to ice as the 12-foot-tall monster charges at me. Its ripped muscles jiggle beneath its gray skin as it runs and snarls. Yellow tusks jut from its lower jaw like daggers, and a huge stone club that's bigger than I am swings in its meaty palms. The reptile part of my brain thinks I'm going to die, even though I know it's just a game, and I freeze like the helpless prey I am. I attempt to shield myself with my pickaxe as the massive club slams down on top of me. My vision goes deep red with the force of the hit, and while there is no pain, a massive dose of vibration denotes the impact. I have an out-of-body experience as I watch my avatar, clad in my mining gear, collapse to the ground face down. Two words hover over my vision. You died. Chapter 3. Gilly. I spend a half second sighing to myself for incurring such a stupid death. I watch the mountain troll passively stand on top of my corpse for a moment before it slowly returns to its preset patrol route. I should have figured a mid-level zone like this would have roaming, aggressive mobs. I check the timer that has appeared at the side of my interface. It's counting down from 58 minutes, 32 seconds. At zero, I will automatically respawn at my home point. The only other thing I can do is hit the respawn button early. I can also just wait and look around the immediate area by panning my vision. The hope is that a healer will come along and be kind enough to give me a raise. Then I'll only lose a little bit of experience. When you respawn, you not only lose a big chunk of experience, you have to make your way back to your corpse to get all your items. My chances of a random healing mage running by, however, are slim to none. I'm just about to hit the respawn button when a message comes through from Gilly. Gilly.
Hey, I'm at the mine entrance. Where are you?
I can chat back, but I decide not to waste time telling her all the details. She'll know soon enough anyway. Me. I'll be right there. I hit the respawn button and my vision fades to black. Then I'm logging in again, except this time I'm buck naked, except for my avatar's standard issue boxers. I check my XP bar and am chagrined to see that I lost almost half of what I'd just earned. An automatic message pops up. You have respawned. You have 24 game hours to retrieve your corpse before your items become lootable to other players. Untradeable items will be lost. A game hour is about 15 minutes in the real world, so that gives me 8 hours before I basically lose everything. Good thing I set my respawn point to the steps of Andor, right outside the Silvertooth Mines. I sprint back to the mine entrance and see Gilly waiting there, peeking into the darkness of the opening. Perhaps expecting to see me come running out. Gilly's avatar is as cute as her name. She's a half-elf, which makes her about as tall as a human. 5'4" compared to my 6'2". She wears her raven hair short, which matches nicely with her olive complexion, and shows off the slight point of her ears. Her wiry body has a wee bit of tone to it, too, like a fitness model, but I rarely see her like that. Most times her figure is hidden beneath a set of miner's coveralls, similar to my own. She already has her miner's helm on, too. I give her character a quick examine. Name, Gilly. Sex, female. Race, half-elf. Class, miner. Level, 8. Guild, Nazgar Labor Union. Level 8? She must have leveled up before I logged in this morning. I call out to her as I approach from behind.
Yo!
Gilly turns, and her deep green eyes go wide with surprise as she stares at my mostly naked body. She then bursts out laughing, which is what I figured she'd do when she saw me. She has a great laugh, too, deep and throaty, and hearing it is almost worth my taking the death. She bends over at the waist, still laughing.
What the heck happened to you? Did you die?
I sigh for dramatic effect.
Yep.
She places her hands on her hips and stares at me.
Oh, well, at least I get to take in that hot bot of yours.
I blush a little, despite the fact that it's Gilly talking here.
What killed you?
A level 40 mountain troll?
She jerks a thumb toward the mine.
You went in already?
I nod.
So the potions don't work?
I don't know. I wasn't smart enough to use one.
She laughs again.
And they're stuck on my corpse now, of course.
Gilly hefts her pickaxe on her shoulder and grins.
Looks like we'll have to sneak in the old-fashioned way, then. Let's get you unnaked, partner.
Gilly takes the lead as we enter the mine. We form a party, and I get to see her stats in the corner of my HUD, underneath my own. Gilly, level 8 miner. HP, 92 of 92. Stamina, 130 of 130. TP, 80 of 80. It's the sort of bare minimum information you need when you're in a party fighting tough monsters. For us, though, it's mainly a convenient chat tool, since neither of us plans to get into any combat here. As Gilly ventures ahead, I get a close-up look at the pickaxe resting atop her well-defined deltoid. I also can't ignore the sway of her hips in her baggy miner's gear. HQ Steel Pickaxe, +3. +15 Mining. +15 Vitality. +25 TP. Only the finest steel was used to forge this creme de la creme of mining tools. It's a darn good pickaxe, and I have to admit I'm a little jealous of its stats. I know it's also one of Gilly's most prized possessions. It's a quest item she got by trading 100 iron ore and 100 chunks of coal to an NPC back at the Miner's Guild. I helped her with the quest, but I couldn't afford to do it myself. I still need to sell most of my ore to pay for rent and stuff. I'll get around to doing it one day, though. As we get close to where I died, I touch Gilly on the shoulder.
Hold up. The troll roams past this part.
Okay,
she says, and we wait for the monster to show up. It doesn't take too long. Within a couple of minutes, the lumbering giant appears, dragging its club behind itself on the ground. It makes a lot of noise, and I marvel at how I could have been so distracted as to not have heard the clearly obvious warning mechanism the devs programmed into the mob. As it gets closer, we back down the tunnel the way we came, making sure to keep out of its aggro range. You can never tell exactly how far that range actually is, but more than 30 feet is usually a good rule of thumb. We keep backing away until, finally, the troll stops. It looks around for a while, and then it turns and continues back the way it came. Gilly and I immediately follow it, careful to keep a safe distance between us and it.
How much damage did it do?
Gilly asks. Enough to kill me in one hit.
Check and see. It'd be nice to know how many hit points we'll need to survive a hit or two in this area. They look pretty slow. Maybe if we could survive an initial hit, we could run away from them.
I pull up my detailed combat log. There are only two entries. The mountain troll hits you for 237 damage. You are defeated. I tell Gilly the outcome. She winces.
Yeesh, these things hit mega hard. Guess we won't be coming back here till we're like level 20 or something.
I nod in agreement and keep a close eye on our distance to the troll. Finally, I see it lumber past a small glowing tombstone with my character name hovering above it.
There you are, Reese,
Gilly announces, pointing ahead. Then she turns back around to give me a sly grin.
Although, I'm going to miss my eye candy.
Wait till it's your turn,
I retort, but I blush a little harder under her lingering gaze. We wait for the troll to be well and out of sight before I rush forward to collect the gear from my tombstone. The contents come zipping up my HUD in a big wall of spam.
You collect a pair of initiate miner's overalls from your corpse. You collect an initiate miner's helm from your corpse. You collect a rusted iron ring from your corpse. You collect an iron mining pick from your corpse. You collect a stack of sneaking potion, 10, from your corpse. You collect a stack of sneaking potion, 10, from your corpse. You collect a chunk of silver ore from your corpse. You collect a chunk of silver ore from your corpse. You collect a chunk of silver ore from your corpse. You collect a chunk of HQ silver ore from your corpse. You collect a scroll of shadow copy from your corpse. You collect a copper coin from your corpse. I immediately equip everything and feel far less vulnerable, the equipment appearing like magic over my torso and legs as I put them on. I initiate a trade with Gilly to give her a stack of the sneaking potions. She puts up 500 credits in exchange for the trade. I'm about to tell her it's too much, considering what I paid for the potions, but the thought of the rent being due next week keeps my mouth shut, though I do feel like a bit of a heel as I hit the trade confirmation button. "Cool," she says with her gorgeous smile. "Let's take one of these so we don't have to make two corpse retrievals." We do so, and a small buff icon appears on my HUD, indicating I'm under the effect of the potion. I'm in no hurry to run up to a troll to test it out, though.
"Where to now, Reese?" Gilly asks.
It's always a little weird to hear someone call me by my character name out loud, although in truth, I respond to it as easily as my real name. Sometimes I have to admit that I wish it was my real name. "Definitely not around here, with that troll roaming the tunnel, and the buff will wear off as soon as we start mining. We should try to find some place that's relatively far away from these things."
"Okay, give me a sec."
Gilly's eyes glaze over, and I know she's multitasking on her rig, bringing up another window to do some research. That's another great thing about Gilly. She loves learning about the game, and knows just where to find the info for it. I, on the other hand, have no stomach for weeding through the millions of online posts and vids about almost any game aspect you can think of. A couple minutes later, Gilly unfreezes.
"Okay, I got us a map," she says as she suddenly reanimates. "There's a big chamber at the bottom of the mines that has a bunch of these trolls hanging around in the center. But there are like 20 nodes all around the edge of the chamber that we can mine without aggroing them."
Good old Gilly. The best Girl Scout ever. "Sweet," I say. I feel that familiar thrill of anticipation rising. "Let's get to it." Gilly grins at me with that killer smile again and gives me a wink.
"After you, partner."
Chapter 4. The Journey Down. The Silvertooth mines are a lot more complex than I thought they'd be, and by the time we hit the third switchback, the one that leads further into the depths of the mines, I'm doubly glad that Gilly bought a map. On the plus side, the potions I supplied worked great, but it was still a bit unnerving to walk past the giant trolls, thinking that, at any moment, they would let out a roar and smash us to a pulp. We rebuff a couple of times, just to make sure the sneaking effect doesn't wear off at the wrong moment. Every time I take the potion, I try not to think about the fact I'm blowing a whole day's worth of food on each one. We don't need to use torches, thanks to our mining helms, but the extra light source is nice, just to brighten the area a bit more. Even without them, the mine is never in true darkness. It has a fair bit of ambient lighting, with lanterns set every 30 feet or so. It's still a game, after all. What sense would it make if you couldn't see the awesome details put into the area's architecture? Unless it's a horror game. Then pitch blackness would make total sense. I'm glad we're not playing one of those. Horror and I don't mix. We hit the bottom of the mines, and just as Gilly said, we enter into a huge cavern that looks more like a football stadium than a cave. Not that I've ever been to a real football stadium, but I learned about them through the mandatory education feeds you have to take up to the age of 16. I'm glad I passed those classes. My school days are now over. I can focus all my time on making money now. I count about a dozen trolls milling about the wide expanse. Every so often they grumble or growl to one another. Gilly and I skirt around the edge of the cavern until we're about halfway. I hit my prospect ability and whammo, pay dirt. A cluster of 8 or 9 nodes light up right along the edge of the cavern, just a few feet from us, and Gilly and I practically run to them.
"This is awesome," Gilly says as she slams her pickaxe into a node. "We're the only ones here, too. We could mine here for hours."
I engage a node and get a big hunk of experience for a successful first hit. The XP is great, too. I think I'll level up after just a couple of nodes.
We share a couple more woo-hoos and then set to hard mining. I play it safe at the beginning, holding back on Gambler's Boon just to ensure I get enough ore to pay for the potions and my gain time. I'm into my fifth node when I hear a massive ding and a burst of light explodes all around me. Congratulations! You have gained a level. You are now level 7. You have gained 1 attribute point. Grats! Gilly shouts to me. You'll be catching up to me soon! I give her a laugh as I check my stats and ponder where to place the attribute point. Strength, 6. Determines melee damage and requirements for heavy armor. Dexterity, 3. Determines melee accuracy, critical hit chance, and activation speed of ranged weapons. Agility, minus 10. Determines dodge ability, attack speed, and requirements for light armor. Intelligence, 6. Determines spell cast speed, technique points, and potency for elemental magic. Mind, 8. Determines magical defense, technique points, and potency for celestial magic. Vitality, 8. Determines stamina, HP, and regeneration speed. Strength is always a good bet, as it will lower the amount of hits I need to clear a mining node. Then again, some extra mind or intelligence would be useful for more TP, so I can use more abilities before I have to rest up. My vitality seems high enough for now, but then again, stamina and HP are always useful. I can't make up my mind, so I decide to save it and get back to mining. I'm gaining XP so fast in here that I'll probably level up again before we leave. And next level will probably have a double attribute point bonus, giving me 3 to spend in total. I have 2.5 stacks of ore so far, and decide to start going for Gambler's Boon to get some HQ drops. Who knows, maybe I'll even get another treasure chest. Hopefully with something good in it this time. My first attempt earns me a bust, but my second and third attempts both earn me extra ore drops, plus an HQ. Good going over there, Gilly says. Get anything good? Some high qualities. Awesome. Yeah, I should be able to clear the rent from this run alone. Nice! I stop to admire Gilly as she hammers into the rock face. She's developed a really good rhythm, alternating between the nodes in her area and activating her abilities in between. Her arms are pumped and glisten with a light sweat. So does her forehead, which she wipes every so often with the back of her hand. Her brows are furrowed with determination, which actually makes her go from cute to sexy in my books. She catches me staring and smiles. Hey, how's your mom doing? She asks. The question takes me completely off guard, since I'm nowhere near thinking along those lines. But her question is genuine, and isn't meant to deflect my thoughts. She's the only player I've ever told about my mother's condition, and her asking is just another example of how great a person Gilly is. She seems pretty good this morning, I say. No coughing fits like last week. I guess the new medication is working. Good news. Yeah. Good news. My thoughts and words trail off as I recall my last trip to the specialist with my mom. It wasn't an actual trip, mind you. The doctor examined her through her rig, and I had come along for moral support. The good news is that the cancer hasn't spread beyond the lungs yet, the doctor's avatar had said. He was a slim black guy in his 30s, wearing a white overcoat and a stethoscope that looked like a prop. But it is stage 4. A transplant is what we're looking at now. My mom gripped my hand from the chair next to me, the same thing we'd done in real life. My mom is young, just over 40. In here she looks her age, beautiful, dark-haired, with vivid blue eyes the same as mine. But in the real world, she looks much older, much closer to death. How long? She'd asked. The doctor paused. You'll need an operation within 6 months. She'd started to cry then, and I'd held her hand tighter. The doctor soldiered on with the information, whether from professionalism or apathy, I couldn't tell. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt. The fastest, most complete option would be nanosurgical reconstruction. There would be no chance of the cancer returning or spreading after that. But it's also the most expensive. How much? I asked. Around 3 million credits. My heart nearly stopped at hearing the price. What else? My mom asked through a sob. What are my other options? A cloned lung would take longer to grow, but it's about half the cost. No chance of rejection. However, the risk that the cancer would return is still there.
What about prosthetics? She'd asked.
Around 500,000, but there's a high rate of rejection.
How high?
50-50? A little worse, even. That didn't sound like very good odds for that much money.
Anything cheaper? I asked.
Organ donation, he'd said. Around 50,000. But the list is very long, and even if you could get one in time, the rejection rates are high, though not as bad as the prosthetic.
That visit was over a month ago now, and I still haven't managed to save up anything. The reality of it opens a deep hole in my stomach, and I feel like vomiting. I can feel tears forming in my eyes. How am I going to do this? How am I going to save enough money in only a few months' time?
Reese, are you okay?
Gilly says, suddenly standing next to me with her hand on my shoulder. I wipe away a stray tear and smile.
Yep, I'm good.
It's a total lie, and she knows it. But she's cool enough not to press it further. Still, there's deep concern in her big green eyes, and I have half a mind to tell her everything. But I dare not dump any more of my burdens on her. She knows my mom is sick, but I haven't told her about my last visit yet. She still thinks I mine just to pay the rent and my mom's medicine bills. Most days I fool myself into thinking that, too. But the truth is, I have to make a lot more money than that. A heck of a lot more. And fast. Chapter 5. Noobs. Gilly and I get back to mining. My resolve is doubled now that I'm reminded why I'm down here. I use Gambler's Boon without reservation. I'm not going to make 500 grand in a couple of months by playing it safe. I need to risk it big to win big. I'm so into mining ore that I barely notice when I ding another level, and then another. I hardly even notice that Gilly is having a conversation with me that I only occasionally acknowledge with a, uh-huh, or an, oh yeah? Only when a powerful yell resounds through the cavern do I stop and look up from my grind. What the heck was that? Both Gilly and I turn about, just in time to see a group of players pouring into the cavern. The player who yelled is still yelling, releasing a powerful war cry as she charges ahead of the pack. And she's the most stunning woman I have ever seen. She dwarfs the other players surging behind her, and is three-quarters the height of the 12-foot-tall mountain troll she slams into with her marvelously ornate white shield. The huge beast grunts, winded from the blow, and from the bar above its head I see it's lost over half its HP. The woman finishes off the rest of the bar with a quick swipe from a glowing white blade that looks as big as I am. The giant woman activates another ability with a second powerful war cry, and this time all the trolls in the room react to it, bellowing as they charge at her. I half expect her to run, but she stands her ground. I swear I see a grin part her ruby-stained lips as her charcoal gray eyes gleam under a set of dark brows. Her jaw is wide and strong, framed by a head of platinum blonde hair. To say that she's beautiful is an understatement. But she's much more than that. She's powerful, intimidating. If presence were an attribute, she'd have over 100 easy. I almost feel sorry for the trolls as they slam into her like a wall of gray flesh. Half of them are instantly stunned by a flash of white light that comes from her sword as she raises it high above her head. She yells and slams into the trolls, keeping their attention as the rest of her party catches up to her. When they do, she cries out in a booming voice that sounds like it belongs to a goddess. Hit them now, Thanis! Far behind her, I can hear one of the mages begin to chant. A half second later, the air above the trolls' heads opens up in a massive dark void. Bolts of lightning shoot from it like rain. The accompanying thunder is deafening as it reverberates in my chest. The dozen or so mountain trolls take more damage than I've ever seen in my life. They fall to the ground as their health bars deplete to zero in less than a second.
Wow,
Gilly says next to me, looking stunned.
That was cool.
I can't help but agree.
As the corpses of the fallen trolls begin to disappear, the giant woman strides from within them, headed toward us. I still can't get over how tall she is. At first, I think she's elven, but she's not slender like an elf, more buff like an Amazon. And her ears are normal like a human's, not pointed. I check her character to see who and what she is. Name, Val Helena. Sex, female. Race, half-giant. Class, paladin. Level, 85. Guild, Ragnarok. Holy crap! A max-level character! Her full plate armor gleams like it's made from ivory, trimmed in gold with a royal blue underlay. Her shield is embossed with a massive gold cross, and her sword, which up close looks like a longsword built for her proportions, is built like a two-handed claymore. I take a quick peek at her armor set. Royal Holy Knight's Circlet, plus 20 Valor, plus 30 TP. Royal Holy Knight's Breastplate, plus 850 HP, plus 30 Vitality, plus 30 Strength, plus 30 Valor. Royal Holy Knight's Gauntlets, plus 350 HP, plus 20 Strength, plus 20 Mind. Royal Holy Knight's Greaves, plus 850 HP, plus 10 Strength, plus 10 Agility. Royal Holy Knight's Boots, plus 350 HP, plus 20 Vitality. Royal Holy Knight's Shield, plus 100 Valor, plus 100 TP. Royal Holy Knight's Sword, plus 30 Strength, plus 30 Mind, plus 30 Valor. My mouth literally hangs open. I've never seen such amazing gear, and on such an amazing-looking character. The combination is enough to make my mind froth with a wicked combination of adulation and envy. Val Helena towers over Gilly and I as she comes to a stop before us. I have to crane my neck to see her gorgeous face. She has to be at least a couple feet taller than me. She rests a gauntlet-clad hand on her hip and lets out an exasperated sigh. What are a couple of noobs like you doing down here? Her voice sounds amazing to me, even with the insult. It's deep and sultry, like a hot teacher or someone's hot mom. She looks older like that, too. Not cute like Gilly, but intimidating. A mature woman who knows what she wants and isn't afraid to demand it. My heart pounds, and I can't tell if it's from excitement, my libido, or just plain fear. Hey! She snaps her fingers in my face. Can you hear me down there? I said, what are you doing here? We're mining. What's it look like? Gilly snaps back, unfazed. And what's it to you?
Mining, huh?
A male warrior in red-plated samurai armor sidles up next to Val Helena. He's got a dark, full beard and a topknot that reaches to Val Helena's chestplate.
I'm betting they're spies.
Spies? Gilly and I share a look of confusion, and I send her an in-party message that the newcomers can't see.
What are they talking about?
Gilly. No idea.
What guild are you guys with?
Val Helena demands more than asks. It takes me a second to remember, since I never really interact with anyone besides Gilly on there.
The Nazgar Labor Union?
Yes, I can see that much from your character info, Reese, Val Helena says with a raised brow and a sneer.
I mean your real guild, the one you use for your main class.
This is my main class. The male warrior laughs. His name is Zeke, and he's level 45, according to my quick check of his stats.
I bet you guys are snooping for the Storm Raiders. They're always trying to steal LM claims from us.
Val Helena sucks her teeth with a look of disgust.
Would be just our luck. We finally get an LM spawn all to ourselves, and this happens.
I bet they show up in 2 minutes and start camping right on top of us. The pricks. LM claims? Camping on top of them? I got no clue what these guys are talking about.
Maybe they're just here to get the TOD,
says a new person who's just joined us. It's the mage who cast the lightning storm. Thanis, I remember Val Helena calling him. He's like the exact opposite of her, though. A male halfling who's barely 4 feet tall, old, and dressed in dark robes with funky magic symbols all over them.
I know I used to do that when I was low level, used to sell it to the high-end guilds for like 10K a pop.
What's a TOD? Gilly says.
Valhalla regards us both quizzically.
Maybe these guys really are just noobs.
I ignore her statement, since it's probably accurate, and look to Thanis.
What was that about 10K a pop?
Whatever the heck it was, if I could leave here with it and trade it for 10K credits, I would do it in a heartbeat. I'd have hit the jackpot. The halfling laughs at me.
Go look it up yourself, you lazy noob.
On it,
Gilly says through the party chat, and then her eyes glaze over.
Anyway, Valhalla gives us an eye roll. You two better clear out of here. An LM is about to spawn, and it's got a massive AoE attack. If you're not clear of here when it pops, you're both going to die real quick.
I at least know what AoE means, area of effect. Kind of like that lightning storm thing Thanis used. Valhalla turns on her low-heeled boot and strides away, giving me a mesmerizing view of her armor-clad hips as they rock from side to side. Zeke and Thanis leave with her, listening as she issues orders like a battlefield commander.
Zeke, take your party and clear out the adds as they respawn. Top up your rage meters and save them for when the LM pops.
Will do.
Thanis, make sure your guys all use some kind of TP regen food, especially the healers. This thing hits like a truck. I'm going to need to be kept topped up at all times.
Got it.
But don't overheal either. Remember, this is a marathon. Conserve where you can. And tell them not to spam heals. Get them to set up a healing order and alternate the heals between themselves. This thing's got a rock throw that will one-shot the entire back row if they pull hate off me, even for a second.
I find myself listening in on their conversation as they depart. I've still got no clue what she's talking about, but Valhalla really seems to know her stuff. And by the way her guys respond to her, it's obvious that they respect her. It makes me respect her even more. You have to respect someone who's reached that level and has that kind of gear, but even more when they know in-depth game mechanics and can lead a raiding party with that level of efficiency. I'm so enthralled with their conversation that I don't even notice the huge shadow that falls over me. It's only when yells go up from the rest of Valhalla's party, waiting by the cavern entrance, that I get the hint that something is wrong.
Pop! They keep shouting. Pop! Pop!
Valhalla stops dead in her tracks and looks over her pauldron-clad shoulder. I follow her gaze to see a mountain troll standing right behind me. But it's no ordinary troll. It's about twice the size of a normal one and wears a crown that looks to be made from dragon teeth. In its hands is the thick iron shaft of a massive hammer, the head of which looks as big as a car. I hear Valhalla's voice as she yells out,
"Run!"
I do so without thinking. It's only when I deplete about half my stamina bar that I realize Gilly is not with me. I look back to see her still standing there, multitasking, caught in her trance. The massive troll faces her and raises its hammer to strike.
"No!" I cry. "Gilly!"
I dash back toward her and reach Gilly just in time to shove her toward the cavern wall. The massive hammer slams down on top of me with a sickening crunch of bone, and the world goes black once again. Chapter 6. Dodge Tank. Congratulations, you have learned a new ability, Rescue. Sacrifice yourself to absorb an attack for another player. Your valor increases by 0.5. You are defeated. Ah, well, at least I got something out of it. And in my current state of death, I finally have a chance to check out the monster that destroyed me. Gruzug. Legendary monster. Level? ? Gruzug, king of the mountain trolls, is rumored to have slain the great sandworm Torumat to create his legendary crown of teeth. His great hammer is said to have been forged in the heart of a mountain, and is a gift from the dark earth goddess Terena. Affinity, Earth.
Yes, I was wrong about the dragon teeth.
I didn't even know worms had teeth. But at least I know what LM stands for now. I check my combat log and see that it hit me for 1,342 damage. Ouch. I pan my vision above my flattened corpse so I can see the massive battle now taking place. Valhalla is at the forefront,
going toe-to-toe with the massive creature. Even her impressive form looks diminutive against it. She activates a bunch of abilities, which I presume are